What's up, everybody? This is Brian here to tell you about our podcast, Bingetown TV. Our hosts include seven best friends with a love for all things television. We cover a range of genres with a focus on fantasy and sci-fi, but also dip our feet into drama, horror, comedy, and pretty much anything we think is good television. We use the traditional deep dive formula for new live shows that are released week to week, but our calling card is our Rooks and Vets and Pitchtown TV series. Rooks and Vets pairs two of our hosts that have seen a show with two of our hosts that have not seen a show. Pitchtown TV is when we have a special guest pitch us a show by having us watch the pilot and trying to convince us to watch the rest. If you're craving more content on some of your favorite TV shows, then you should listen to Bingetown TV.
Find us on our website at bingetowntv.com, the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, or wherever else you may find your podcast.
Hello, everyone. We're Superhero Stuff You Should Know. And if you think you know about superheroes and comic books, think again.
We got romance. We got action.
Romance.
We got comedy. We got everything you need, man. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know for all your superhero needs.
I don't know about this romance. What part are you talking about?
We've got all kinds of sketches and then deep dives on top of that. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
All right. So come on down to... Wait, why did I say come on down? To Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
Oh, hello there. I didn't see you come in. I'm Shane O'Hare of the Geekscape Games Podcast, the number one video game podcast on the Geekscape.network. Join myself, Derek Krennevelt, and a guest every fortnight as we discuss video game news, video game reviews, and dissections. That's Geekscape Games every 2 weeks on Geekscape.net.
Welcome to another episode of Horror Movie Night. This week, we're talking more Lillard, this time brought to us by Scott, who picked 13 Ghosts. I mean, I feel like it goes without saying, but real quick, Scott, why did you pick 13 Ghosts?
Oh, I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wouldn't have been for you damn kids. I don't think they say damn in Scooby-Doo, but, you know, I absolutely love the 90s, late 90s. When it's good, it's great, and I just wanted to keep that train a-rolling, so 13 Goats. It is.
Yeah, so here's my controversial statement about this movie.
I want to hear it.
It's not very good. That's the answer.
I like this movie. I've gone to bat a million times with this movie. I think that this movie is visually fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It is way slower than I originally remembered.
The pacing sucks. The acting, except for Matthew Lillard, half the time fucking blows. The only good thing about it is all the character effects, the creature effects.
The creature effects are fantastic. Like, literally the first 10 minutes of this movie in the junkyard is so boring, and it's supposed to be there to set up the whole movie, and I just could not care less. Like, I'm just like, get us into this fucking house with these fucking ghosts already, you goddamn movie. Like, I was getting so
also
stressed.
Like, think about the pacing is absolute shit. The kid is the most annoying fucking child in a movie that we've watched in quite some time. You know, we also get Monk, you know, whatever his real name is, but, and you know,
Tony Shalhoub, the Shalhoub.
Let's call him Monk.
Mr. Maisel. No, not Mr. Maisel. Mr. Weissman. He's fucking great in Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, but not so much in this movie. But you know what the funniest thing about this is that how many years have Matt and I been podcasting together? Like 8?
Almost 10 years, I feel like. Fucking, if you count all of Reddit Horror Club and everything.
I think that Megan and I were getting married and I had already joined Reddit Horror Club. Like, I'm pretty sure. And our 10-year anniversary is October. So, like,
It's been a long fucking time, and I haven't taken notes for every discussion. I think this might be the fewest notes I've ever had for a movie I've picked. I have 5 notes, but it's because I don't have anything to like that I need to remind myself of, because this movie is just, you let it wash over you, and thank goodness for the 15-second fast-forward button nowadays. You know, it's just, it's so funny because Matthew Lillard gets to spit all over his chin and he gets paid to do it. The house is absolutely absurd. The fucking glasses are stupid as hell, but I just love Dark Castle. Everything that Dark Castle did. Matt, you tell me, is there a Dark Castle movie that doesn't absolutely kill? It's just so fun.
I feel like the one that got the worst reputation was Ghost Ship, because it started strong and then kind of just fell apart after the opening sequence.
I don't even care, but man. Ghost Ship is worth the watch.
Did we watch that?
Not yet.
We haven't watched Ghost Ship, no.
We should probably get to that one.
What was the one we watched?
House on Haunted Hill.
No, that was a, I don't know if it was Dark Castle, but it was a Ghost Ship.
Oh, are you thinking of... Are you thinking of Deep Rising?
Yeah.
Which they came out the same year, like a year or two apart, and I remember people being like, isn't this the same movie? No, like that. The problem with that is that Ghost Ship is pretty fucking stupid. But like at the same time,
holographic cover.
Holographic cover. And we were not watching movies in the late 90s, early 2000s for like good. We were watching it for that popcorn effect. And I feel like 13 Ghosts is an absolute popcorn movie.
I want to apologize to Scott, though, because I think that when we did your episode on House on Haunted Hill, I came in pretty strong that I thought 13 Ghosts was the better movie.
It's not.
But after this watch, I recede my opinion.
I think that
13 Ghosts has the better ghost effects.
Oh, that's not even a question. But I do like the shaky ghosts in House on Haunted Hill, because I think that, and we discussed that when we did that episode, that style, like that visual style, got aped so hard. And that's why I think that watching it in, you know, our 30s is easier to be like, to shit all over the CGI, because it was bad. And it was bad in the 90s. Like, I liked the concept they were going for, but it was bad. Like, even back then, I remember being like, man, that was the fucking ghost at the end. It's kind of disappointing. But when it's practical, it's great. But they also, that's the thing about this movie, is that the practical is so good. But when you see the containment spells that are on the floor that you can only see with the glasses, the concept's great, but the CGI is not, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, the guy getting split in half, not good.
Even, like, the cogs spinning around?
Oh,
yeah, they're not good. Yeah, they're not good.
That's some, like, 1995 PC gaming level shit I remember from, like, the polygons in, like, Descent 2 and Mech Warrior 2 that I used to play on my computer as a child.
Yeah. So I do wonder if Universal Studios ever used this for their... whatever the hell that Halloween thing is they do every year.
Oh, Halloween Horror Nights? They probably did.
Because it would be fucking awesome.
Because the ghosts are the backstory of all the ghosts is what this whole movie rests upon.
Yeah.
And do you remember the DVD had like that whole menu that told all the great stories about it?
Yeah. And the IMDb has them verbatim. I was like, I'm not going to read all 12 of these.
But we should probably pick which ones are our favorite, though.
Yeah. Oh, that's totally fine. But I want to talk about 2 things real quick. First one is just a fun fact that is an interesting... I found this to be a very interesting fact. It was the only interesting fact that I found while doing research, is that this is the first major American studio film that starred 3 Arab-American actors between Tony Shalhoub, Shannon
Elizabeth.
He's
Arab-American?
Yeah. Shannon Elizabeth and the guy who plays the villain, Cyrus.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like... cool fact. It's also like, wow, it took until 2001 for us to do that. But then when we're talking about the pacing, here's the moment. Like, yeah, the movie is slow to start, but the point where I'm like, yo, this script is really clunky, is when the girl just shows up out of nowhere an hour into this movie.
Yeah.
You just get introduced to this extra character.
Oh, but she's in the beginning.
Yeah, but then it's like 20 minutes later, it's like, ooh, she's the bad guy.
Yeah, it was like, a ruse. The beginning
was
a ruse.
It doesn't make any sense that she could be such a badass until she's all like, oh, do whatever you say, Cyrus. Like, I understand that
it's
trying to show...
terribly written.
It's trying to show that Cyrus is, like, a super controlling person and has, like, some sort of Rasputin-level, like, you know, control over other humans. But it just doesn't work for me, you know? And her fake nose piercing, like, the stud on her nose to make her look kind of badass. It's just so fucking funny. I can't criticize this movie that much. Like, because
no, it's still a fun time.
Yeah, this is a great popcorn horror movie.
We've talked about this before. This is a great throw it on in the background at a party type movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, like, yeah. You don't need to pay attention to the plot, but, like, you want to catch those visuals. There's some, like, there's little things that I like. Like, when Shannon Elizabeth is in the bathroom and the angry princess is in the tub, but she can't see it because she's not wearing the glasses.
Yeah.
And there's that quick, like, it's like a flash. And in blood, it says, "I'm sorry" on the bathroom floor. Like, mm-hmm. little stuff like yeah. that where I'm like, dude, there's some really cool, like, the editing in this is really cool. Roger Ebert, in his review, he hated the movie.
Of course.
Which is, like, not shocking. Roger Ebert, not exactly a fan of horror movies.
He likes highbrow horror. You know, yeah. it's not like he's watching fucking, you know, 13 Ghosts in 2001 and being like, you know, even though this movie is kind of schlocky, it's still a good time. You know, he's not watching fucking Dream Warriors and being like, this movie's revitalizing the genre and blah, 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 you know, or whatever. Yeah. You know, he's like, it's got to be something real big for him to care
this
about.
This is the quote I was looking for. He praised the production value, saying that the production is first rate. The physical look of this picture is beyond splendid. However, he criticized the story and the lack of interesting characters and its loud soundtrack and its poor editing, and included it on his list of the most hated films he's ever reviewed. Now,
oh, fuck. That's yeah, rough.
Now, I agree with his praise, and I agree with most of his complaints, except that I actually don't think the editing is that shitty in this. Like, I think that it's very stylized editing. But, like, yeah, the acting is subpar. The script is really weak.
I don't think that anybody could get away with, like, making this. You can't polish that turd. You know, like, the script is really the worst part about this movie.
Yeah, and, like, the soundtrack is, I don't know if he's talking about the physical songs in it, but it is definitely mixed, like, ass. Like,
that's what he's talking about.
I definitely side with them a little bit. Like, I get what you're saying. And I think as far as, like, those quick horror scenes, the editing is dope. But there's a lot of long fucking take. Like, there's not a lot of, like, camera cutting to different people.
Yeah,
and that's where I would get bored. It's like, it's just like a long, like a wide shot for like 5 minutes. It's like,
when they're in their, like, shitty apartment, I noticed that too, and I don't even notice that shit normally.
Yeah.
But Scott, you said that you didn't like the split down the middle, that you felt like it didn't look good. I actually kind of disagree. I like that specific scene. And what I like is that we as the audience know what's happened, right? But there's that awesome slow build to revealing it where it's like the glass shuts, he stands still, and you're like, oh, fuck, that glass went through him. And then it's like the glasses slowly fall off. And then the tie slowly comes down. Like, it's just
those,
like,
things are fine. Yeah. Those things are fine. I'm just saying that, like, seeing the cross section is I remember when I saw this for the first time. I think that I saw it on VHS. I don't think I saw it in theaters. But it didn't work for me then, and it still doesn't work for me now. Just, like, the mechanics of that are just fucking stupid. But, you know, I mean, I hope I'm not coming off like I'm upset with the movie. I just, if we're talking about this movie in general, its biggest problem is that it's trying to do the DCEU thing where it's throwing so much, or like the Spider-Man movies. Didn't Spider-Man 3 have like four bad guys in it or something?
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah,
it's just trying to throw too many bad guys at you. I guess that what I'm getting at is that we're ignoring the fact that this is, like most Dark Castle movies, where it's a remake of a William Castle flick.
It wasn't a particularly good William Castle flick.
It wasn't even
with
a great William Castle movie.
I wanted to know.
Yeah, like, House on Haunted Hill is universally beloved 1950s horror movie. I mean, it's Vincent Price. It's fucking great. You know, I mean, Vincent Price was in 13 Ghosts too, right?
No, I'm looking at it right now. But I will say, good or not, I definitely would frame this poster. Because the poster's fucking dope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the poster's great. The original 13 Ghosts, I feel like they had a much looser concept. They had more leeway, you know, with doing a remake of the movie, because really all they took from it is literally the title and the glasses. Because the William Castle gimmick for the original 13 Ghosts were these, you know, ghost glasses. And so they just brought those into the flick for the remake. And I think that's really cool. Whoever did the lore be so interesting is the person that saves this movie, because, like, if they were boring ass characters instead of, like, the jackal and the bound princess, or the bound woman rather, and the, you know, like, the torso, and then, you know, all those characters, like, I probably, if you gave me a couple minutes, off the top of my head, I could name all of them, and they're all just so cool. I mean, and they're intense. The thing I don't quite understand is, at the end of this movie, they are all back out in the world to go fucking murder humans still, which I think is phenomenal. And so it's not like they they didn't like vanquish any evil. They just killed Cyrus and he gets to go to hell. So like all those 12 other ghosts are fucking back out. Like the Breaker, he's out in his junkyard and he's killing in the last 20 years, he's probably killed another fucking 40 people. It's amazing.
Yeah, literally, I mean, the way to compare it to is, like, this is the fucking EPA guy shutting down the containment unit in Ghostbusters.
Yeah, but then there's no Ghostbusters at the end to save him. I love it. Okay, so we've talked for 15 minutes about the movie. I really need you guys to tell me, what are the ghosts that really stand out to
you? Let's word it like this. If they were to make a 13 Ghosts sequel where you followed a haunting by one of these ghosts.
Oh,
you
fuck, that's impossible. Can you two?
Yeah, you can do whatever. You can do two movies, but you pull like...
No. I mean like one movie with two...
If you want to, I'm just thinking like the way that like the Kindred spawned all of these random like, well, now we're going to tell the story of Annabelle, who's like just like a small part of...
Oh, you mean The Conjuring?
Yeah, The Conjuring.
You said The Kindred, and I got really excited thinking that there was a sequel to The Kindred, man. Don't fuck with me like that.
Yeah, like they're doing a spin-off sequel... You know, 20 years later, they're like, you know what? We really need to revisit the 13 Ghosts franchise. Who are you wanting to see a movie based on?
Oh, I mean, it would be super easy to go with the Jackal just because he's such a brutal character. It's cool because the Jackal, I think, would have the ability to tell a period piece because I believe he is 1700s. I think that he was because he's got that like
right now.
Jackal's the one with the
box.
The cage around his head.
Yeah,
and he like chewed through it. So he's like an absolute maniac.
He was born 1887 to a prostitute.
So we could have a period piece, like you would get the period costumes, and then you could have him fucking die a gruesome death, and then you could have him terrorizing people as a ghost after he gets done with, or you could probably have this as a quote unquote prequel to 13 Ghosts, and it would be fantastic. But I also like, I hate to say it, but the Torn Prince is one of my personal favorites. I did that character as a cosplay for a horror convention a couple years ago, and he's a 1950s character, and so you could have all the shit that I love from 50s like pastiche movies, and you could have this psychopathic kid who's just like murdering people, gets killed, and then, you know, it's like a Dead Man's Curve kind of thing where he's just a bloody ghost going out, and you know, or you could even have him like quasi zombified. Yeah. And then he becomes a ghost at the end. Like, there are so many cool ways you could do Torn Prince. But when I dressed up as that Torn Prince cosplay, it was wild because I went thinking, okay, I just wanted to do this. Like, it was a facial prosthetic, like, that I made. And then I did the costume. And it was really fun. Like, I did it from scratch. This is my first, like, large-scale facial application. Like, it went around literally half of my head. And it was almost impossible to get it to stick to the back of my hair. So I went to the con thinking, no one's going to know what this is. This is, like, super niche. Like, so niche, it's not even funny. And it was a small con. It was just up, like, north of Akron. I think that there were maybe 200 people there. It was not a big one. And somebody goes, dude, Torn Prince, that is so cool. I have never seen anybody do that. Come with me. He takes me over to this guy and he goes, hey, I want to introduce you to the guy that created that look. It was the practical effects artist who worked on 13 Ghosts and he specifically Torn Prince. And he is a Cleveland special effects guy. And he like was living in LA or whatever when they did and worked on this movie. Like Torn Prince was his main one, I believe, and then he did a couple other of the ghosts. You know, I joke about like, okay, we live in a simulation. It was one of those times where you're just like, come on, at least try and make me believe that this is real life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I still love that story to this day. And the Torn Prince is a very cool look. I just read the quick breakdown of the Jackal and I forgot how truly fucked up the story is of like how the Jackal
became the Jackal. Right?
No, so here's the full, I'll do the quick breakdown of this one. The ghost of Ryan Khan, who was born in 1887 to a prostitute, he had an insatiable lust for women, rape, and murdering prostitutes.
Oh, that's right.
Wanting to be cured, he committed himself into the asylum. But after attacking a nurse, he was put in a straitjacket and thrown in a padded room. After years of imprisonment, he went completely insane, scratching at the wall so violently that all of his fingernails have been torn off. The doctors kept him permanently bound in the straitjacket, tying it tighter and tighter every time he acted out, causing his numbs to completely contort in horrible directions. After fighting to free himself, he gnawed through the jacket until the doctors finally locked his head in a metal cage and sealed him away in a dark basement cell. There he grew a hate of any kind of human contact, screaming madly and cowering whenever approached. When a fire broke out in the asylum, everybody but him escaped. He chose to stay behind and face the fire. As a ghost, his arms are free from the jacket and the bars of his cage are ripped outward, showing that he may have escaped his binding again sometime before the fire started, and that the cage may have been heated up enough to where when he had been ripped from, where he could have ripped it open before the fire completely consumed it.
Yeah, that's fucking dope. I feel like two different questions were asked, because Scott asked which ghost stood out, you know, to me, and it's definitely the son and the mother, but I really don't care too much about their backstory. I like the hammer. I want to see that dude.
The hammer spikes. Is such a badass.
Yeah.
So for me, as a guy who just loves a good old creepy kid ghost story, I like the firstborn son. Just this kid with a fucking arrow protruding out of his face, and he just wants to play.
But you could make a great movie out of that.
Really? See, I think creepy-wise, it's a good-looking ghost, but what's the backstory? He got shot in the face with an arrow.
Shot in the back of the head with an arrow.
So yeah, let's say it like this. I guess for mine, it wouldn't make a good movie, but it would make a good episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah. I mean, shit, if they've made multiple Annabelle movies, they can make a Firstborn Son movie, all right?
The torso, the effect on the torso, I'm not sure if you looked up, but it's an actual double amputee,
mm-hmm.
and then they put his head in a bag so that they could just edit that out. But, like, most of what you're seeing is real, except for the fact that his head's not there.
Yeah. I mean, I really like the Bound Woman because she looks so horrific, but I feel like that story as a movie might be a little too misogynistic. I mean, the Jackal is probably misogynistic as fuck too, but I'm not saying that we need to empathize with any of these characters. I feel like the Bound Woman, the one that would garner the most sympathy, because I believe that she was tortured and then killed and came back as a vengeful ghost because of that. But that's the thing, is that, like, I think a good 13 Ghost origin movie would be more along the lines of, this person was a shit human and is a shit ghost, you know?
Yeah.
You could make a movie out of the Angry Princess origin story is also really, like, would make a good fucked up movie.
Well, we already saw it in American Mary.
I was going to say, Brian, I'm not sure if you read any of the research on, did any of the research on it, but for Angry Princess, it was a girl that was so obsessed with her own natural beauty that she gets a job working at, like, a plastic surgery place where instead of getting paid cash, she got paid in treatments to, like, modify her body, but became so obsessed that she tried to do surgery on herself and accidentally mutilated her body and was so disgusted by what she had done to herself that she kills herself in the bathtub. Yeah. I think that, like, building up to that story, you could do something that, like you said, it's like American Mary mixed with May. You know what I mean? Like, it's just just this fucked up, tragic horror story.
I wouldn't watch it. I'm telling you, I'm not going to
You didn't watch
it.
May anyway. You know what's so fucking funny, guys?
I don't like self-harm. I can't watch self-harm. I don't know why.
What's up, everybody? This is Brian here to tell you about our podcast, Bingetown TV. Our hosts include seven best friends with a love for all things television. We cover a range of genres with a focus on fantasy and sci-fi, but also dip our feet into drama, horror, comedy, and pretty much anything we think is good television. We use the traditional deep dive formula for new live shows that are released week to week, but our calling card is our Rooks and Vets and Pitchtown TV series. Rooks and Vets pairs two of our hosts that have seen a show with two of our hosts that have not seen a show. Pitchtown TV is when we have a special guest pitch us a show by having us watch the pilot and trying to convince us to watch the rest. If you're craving more content on some of your favorite TV shows, then you should listen to Bingetown TV.
Find us on our website at bingetowntv.com, the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, or wherever else you may find your podcast.
Hello, everyone. We're Superhero Stuff You Should Know. And if you think you know about superheroes and comic books, think again.
We got romance. We got action.
Romance.
We got comedy. We got everything you need, man. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know for all your superhero needs.
I don't know about this romance. What part are you talking about?
We've got all kinds of sketches and then deep dives on top of that. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
All right. So come on down to... why did I say come on down? To Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
Double features. Scott, what would your double feature with 13 Ghosts be?
So I originally had one that I thought would be funny. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I wouldn't necessarily want to do this, but I'm going to go with the bit just because I still think it's funny. But I would start with 12 monkeys and then end with 13 ghosts.
I accept this. I like that. It is funny. It is funny. All right, Brian, your turn.
I would pair this with the best haunted house movie in the horror genre, Monster House.
I'm going to go with another movie in which Matthew Lillard's trying to hunt down ghosts and watch Scooby-Doo. Where are you? All right. So, Scott, what is something that you have watched that you just need to tell us about?
So I don't know if I need to tell you guys about this, but I couldn't sleep last night / this morning. And so I do you guys get the Shudder newsletters that come out? Where they're
is
like
this about
the
slacks?
Yes! And it's not nearly as bombastic as it should have been. You know, like, there were so many times in this movie when I was just, like, rooting for the movie and rooting for the story. And I just feel like they couldn't catch a flow. Like, the pacing wasn't right, and they couldn't figure out how characters were going to be written. The whole conceit of the movie is kind of cool. I liked the ending a lot, actually. And I really like the fact that the genes, when they kill someone, they then suck their blood up. I don't know, man. It's really fucking stupid movie. I mean, I understand that they knew what they were making, but I feel like they didn't lean hard enough into it, you know?
That's, well, and that's like the, I feel like that, we've talked about that before. That is like the hard balance that makes doing a good horror comedy work. You either have to play it super, super straight, or you have to just be, it's a comedy with horror elements, but falling in the middle ground just makes nobody happy.
Yeah. Like, oh, and remember, like, Porno? That came out last year,
I was
year,
literally
I wanna say.
Just going to say.
Another Shudder original.
Yeah, it seems like it's just like Porno, where I was, like, really disappointed by it because it had, like, a promising concept.
The one thing I'll say about Slacks is that it's worth a watch with a group of people. So once you're vaccinated, or if you have a pod, get together with some people, watch it, and if you drink, have a couple beers, and just laugh about how silly it is. Don't pay 100% attention to it like I did in the middle of the night.
I love the idea that you have insomnia, and you and open up your movies. Email, and you're like, ooh, Slacks.
Scott, no, but Scott legit has insomnia. Like, anytime I get a TikTok from Scott,
it's 3 a.m.
Yeah, it's between 3 and 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Yeah. Fucking, why do you check the timestamps? Don't do that to me. I actually stay off of Facebook because I'm like, I don't want people seeing me liking or commenting on anything, especially not our group. It seems like I'm a ghost on Facebook, but I'm a fucking, you know, ghost on TikTok because I'm sending people TikToks in the middle of the night. But it's a dirty secret. I'm like, I don't want people to know that I'm awake in the middle of the night and available, you know?
I'll just tell people this on a podcast that's listened by a couple thousand people everywhere.
They don't have my contact information.
That's fair.
But I wanted to say one last thing about Slacks. The one thing I really liked about it was that it has a dark ending. Also, there's this one scene, this one shot, it takes about 1 second, where the genes are down sucking up a pool of blood, and then they come up and it looks like the sides of the mouth, and it has like blood drip off of it, and it's so badass. Like, I just, if we could have had a whole movie that was like that, where the movie is completely playing it straight and it's true terror that these like possessed genes are like snakes or something like that coming after you, and they play it completely straight like that, and the humor is the fact that it's so absurd.
Yeah,
that would have been an amazing flick. I mean, it would always be a cult flick because it's called Slacks. Yeah. Like, I feel like there's just a way to do it in a successful manner that it might have been by committee, and the people that wanted to do it serious were like, okay, we'll do this part serious. And then the people that wanted to do it a comedy were like, let's have these lines of dialogue and these characterizations. And it just fucking frustrating, just like Porno was.
Yeah. I'll do mine real quick. We're recording this on a Saturday morning. And on Sunday night, I started the show Silicon Valley, and I'm Ooh. Starting season 6 right now. So,
oh, jeez. Like, you haven't messaged us this week.
I got so sucked into that show.
I heard it's great.
It has a few issues. I mean, issue number one is that, like, TJ Miller is actually, like, a legitimate human monster, but they basically have him they have him playing himself, so you're like, oh, I hate this character, so that makes sense.
Dude, I need to get Twitter, man.
No, you don't.
No, you
don't. Well, I don't know these things. I you guys are going to fucking get my ass beat at a party. I'm going to be like, yo, DJ Miller, really funny guy. And they're like, what did you just say? I don't know. I don't know who these
first of all, you're not going to go to a party.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Yeah, step one. That's true. Okay, so I'll do the very quick rundown of TJ Miller's mistakes. It was found out that in college there was like a bunch of different reports placed on him for sexual assault. All of the women who were on the set of Silicon Valley said that they didn't say that he was like misogynistic, but they called him like a brat. Like he basically showed up, ran the show, held everybody
hostage. Yeah.
Like was just like a dick. And like, that's kind of why he got written off of the show midway through the series. But then the biggest one was, I don't know what the story is, but he basically called a fake bomb threat on a train for vengeance.
Yeah.
And
what a fucking
that's
asshole.
A federal crime. So like,
okay, good. Because it was just funny. At least like that you got to the train thing because you're like, yeah, so start off with the sexual assault. But then get this. He was a huge brat on set.
No, but yeah, not great. But the one problem I will say is that with Silicon Valley, and I actually texted John about this too, is like every season is the same. The arc of each season is very much the same, where it's like they've got a product, they're working on the product, a series of issues happen, everything's fine.
Yeah, it's HBO.
Yeah, that's your 10-episode arc. It's very...
Entourage?
I would say they have more struggles than Entourage was literally what I was about to say. Entourage, it's like it's too good for them all the time. But Martin Starr, the whole show is watching just for the relationship between Martin Starr and Camille Nanjiani. All right, Brian, you finally, what's something you checked out? Any more Temptation Island, or did you actually watch something that you wanted to watch?
Oh, man. So following up with another show that Scott will have zero interest in. Fucking Your Honor, man.
I've heard good things. Yeah.
I like sick to my stomach watching it. And just from, not from gore or anything like, oh, this is so sad, just from pure anxiety. Quick little premise. This kid who's the son of a judge has an asthma attack while driving on the anniversary of his mother's death. And he ends up hitting this kid on a motorcycle and killing him. And he tries to call the cops, but he's having a panic attack. So he ends up just leaving the scene. Finally calms down, tells his dad, the judge, and he's like, all right, we have to turn yourself in. And then when they go to turn himself in, they find out that the kid that he killed was the son of a mob boss. So the judge is like, fuck that, we can't turn you in. Like, let me try to cover it up. And it is just like, that is the first 10 minutes of the show that
it sounds
I just
like
did.
Ozark.
Yeah,
but it's like so much more intense. Bryan Cranston, and it's like, it's so funny when I was talking to my best friend about it. Like, I hope a millennial never meets Bryan Cranston, because I was telling my best friend about the show and he's like, man, he's great. How? And it's just like, dude, Bryan Cranston is such a talented actor, but everyone my age just kind of first off knows him as the dad Hal from Malcolm in the Middle, which is just such a just a terrible role.
But all right, so Brian wanted us to get anxious. I wanted us to watch a comedy starring a not so great dude. And Scott was lukewarm on a pair of pants. So tune in next week. It's a pick from Brian. It's a zombie movie. Scott's not looking forward to it. I remember loving this movie. I don't know how I'm going to feel when I rewatch it, but we'll certainly find out next week on Horror Movie Night.
Hey everybody, I'm Chris Fafalius, and I'm the producer of Krista Makes a Podcast and the host of the One Hit Thunder podcast.
And I'm Matt Kelly, host of Horror Movie Night and the producer slash the head of content for the Geekscape Podcasting Network.
Between the two of us, we have, believe it or not, 25 years of podcasting experience, and we want to help you start your own podcast.
We know podcasting, and we want to share that knowledge with you.
So whether you're new to podcasting or you want some feedback on your currently active podcast, we want to help.
Or perhaps you're just overwhelmed with all of the editing work. Well, we can help you with that also.
You can check out our website at weknowpodcasting.com for more information.
We're excited to help your podcasting dreams become a reality.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
What's up, everybody? This is Brian here to tell you about our podcast, Bingetown TV. Our hosts include seven best friends with a love for all things television. We cover a range of genres with a focus on fantasy and sci-fi, but also dip our feet into drama, horror, comedy, and pretty much anything we think is good television. We use the traditional deep dive formula for new live shows that are released week to week, but our calling card is our Rooks and Vets and Pitchtown TV series. Rooks and Vets pairs two of our hosts that have seen a show with two of our hosts that have not seen a show. Pitchtown TV is when we have a special guest pitch us a show by having us watch the pilot and trying to convince us to watch the rest. If you're craving more content on some of your favorite TV shows, then you should listen to Bingetown TV.
Find us on our website at bingetowntv.com, the Apple Podcast app, Spotify, or wherever else you may find your podcast.
Hello, everyone. We're Superhero Stuff You Should Know. And if you think you know about superheroes and comic books, think again.
We got romance. We got action.
Romance.
We got comedy. We got everything you need, man. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know for all your superhero needs.
I don't know about this romance. What part are you talking about?
We've got all kinds of sketches and then deep dives on top of that. Come on down to Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
All right, so come on down to... Wait, why did I say come on down? To Superhero Stuff You Should Know.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.